We are live from Love Story for AEW Full Gear Viewing Party. We got a couple of True Heels behind the camera helping us out. A couple of our viewers guest producing this episode straight for you because Baby Seth is a bad producer who can't show up to our viewing party. Anyway.
Wow. Whoa. Baby Seth, bro.
Controversy. We got Jordan Miles with a blackface t-shirt. We got Kenny Omega almost getting banned from Japan and preview.
I'm going way, way back with
this. Yes, it's been 2 weeks since True Heel Heat 52. Yes, so we're going to be previewing AEW Full Gear as well as a jam-packed weekend of pro wrestling. So welcome if you're watching on the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, if you're watching on True Heels. If you're not, please, anyone behind that camera, share it to the True Heels page. Thank you very much. I forgot.
It's already done.
Top guy JJ's on it.
I love y'all. Like, I'm watching us from, like, here, right? I mean, can we do some, like, improv, like, produce? Can we bring this whole set a little bit closer? Like, can we bring everything a little bit closer?
Are you pulling it too far?
Hell yeah! Like, I feel like I see the whole goddamn room!
Okay, we're gonna have to be careful with
this. Just wait. Watch the impact. So I love how the impact is just gonna hit us, right? I can't tell you. I'm a couple seconds behind, producer.
Oh my god.
Look at that. Hell yeah, you see? That's what I'm talking about, my man.
Look at that.
There we go. Now that's what you call live TV tape delay. That's what you get, because that was my reaction 15 seconds after the shit happened.
The teamwork was amazing.
Epic.
So, yes, we got to start off every True Heel Heat as we started off.
Like
our True Heel roll call.
Yes. Salute to the Heel.
Salute to all of you.
And to that stuff that's over there.
Whatever.
We got a nice version of Freshly Squeezed back here. and he knew not to drink any of that shit. He ain't touch any of that crap.
What you got? The True Heel Heat team is laced with Patron Margaritas.
You know what? I'm tagging you in. Y'all back there drinking some Memphis.
I didn't even get the intro, our True Heel alcoholic himself, Top Guy JJ, who's very vibrant for our viewing party here. And of course, the beautiful, the lovely Miss Chrissy Love here.
We got a couple of the True Heels.
What the fuck was that?
What?
Wow, what?
Okay. We haunted.
He went to get more like us. You gotta excuse Top Guy JJ. He's really bi.
All right, I'm gonna.
Very bi.
So what we got going on first?
So our True Heel Trinity is.
Come on, boss. Let's go. Hurry up.
Hey, you gotta talk to him. Talk to him. At number three, the True Face, Steve Savage. Coming in at number two, Steve Gerwig. And number one, once again, the Negro Buck, Nick Jackson. A couple of the True Heels, we got to shout out Jamie Tonak, Chauncey Curry, Ashley Morrell, Nathan Brown, and John Wimbush. And our new YouTube subscriber, Dose of Reality 420. A huge plug for Battle Club Pro, their next event, January 4th, One for All. It's going to have Moth is going to be on that show, Jordan Grace, and a huge main event of Havoc versus Nick Gage. First time ever intergender match between Havoc and Nick Gage. Battle Club Pro, One for All on January 4th. So after you enjoy New Japan in the morning, come on out to Battle Club Pro in New Jersey. So, anything you guys want to mention before we continue? Or anything from the True Heels or the Spotlight Nation? Orange Cassidy behind the camera.
Yo, I will say this. Anybody that truly watches New Japan Wrestle Kingdom and then goes to Battle Club Pro that same night, if I see you, a drink is on me.
There you go.
Because that right there, that is some dedication for your ass right there. You do both in the same day and still attend your daily life.
Hey, I'm going to do both, so they should too. I'm an inspiration.
You're weird. So you're just, you're weird. So
I'm an inspiration.
You're, no, you're fuck out of here.
That's my new nickname. I'm an inspiration.
Yeah. And there's a reason for all this extra gear that we're in full gear mode, but it is cold.
We're in full gear. We're not full gear. No. We are fitting to the theme of tonight's pay-per-view. So buy anything from the Spotlight or the True Hills.
Well, Steve said this is so much better than the LSU and Bama game right now.
Behind the camera, but apparently he wants to enjoy the massacre that's going on with LSU.
Thanks, Steve.
And Austin said best trio ever.
Oh, thank you, Austin. Thank you.
Oh, he's also a good start today.
He's not going to last. He's definitely not going to last.
Anything else? All right, so we got to dive into a lot of news. We got to get done before buy-in, the pre-show starts. So WWE news, Saudi Arabia controversy. So after the last trip for WWE Crown Jewel, Sweet Saudi Money 4. Yes, 4. The superstars, 175 superstars and staff, was left behind in Saudi Arabia waiting on the tarmac because of mechanical issues by Atlas Airway and the WWE. Both reported there was mechanical issues
with the flight.
They had to stay on the flight and it wasn't able to go out. The superstars had to wait in Saudi Arabia after Vince McMahon had already left. He left on his jet with his staff, as well as Brock Lesnar on a private jet, and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Jimmy Hart.
He has enough money to have them all on one jet to get out there.
Vince McMahon is a busy man. He left right after the event before the guys can go.
He have enough money for them to get out there. He could charter his own. He could have chartered just like the basketball team have their own planes. Why would have a WWE plane?
They do.
So then why they?
It's just all Vince's plane.
They did charter 20 superstars that were supposed to be on SmackDown because they did have SmackDown the following day after the Saudi Arabia trip. They did charter a flight for 20 superstars that were advertised for the event to head out. This made a couple of the superstars very upset. Luke Gallows, Zack Ryder, as well as Curtis Axel put up very throwing shade type of tweets at WWE for being left behind, saying that they were poor or didn't have enough money to have a flight out because WWE put out a press release basically saying these superstars went above and beyond to basically pay for the charter flight out of Saudi Arabia. So this caused a lot of controversy in the WWE. It caused a lot of controversy backstage.
No one was looking for those wrestlers anyway, so it's okay.
So what are your thoughts, guys? What do you guys think about this latest Saudi Arabia controversy and how the WWE has dealt with this so far?
I mean, I took two spins on it. It's basically Saudi saying, here's a potential what we can do to you guys if you guys don't lock in your contracts and come to these shows. But what I really got, I was like, that was kind of fucked up. The fact that Vince kind of prioritized them like how people buy plane tickets.
Yeah.
Like you had first class and first priority, then comfort level. And then you had main cabin. The rest of the superstars was main cabin. You got a big ass plane and you main cabined your roster.
Oh,
and you basically gave your Brock Lesnar's, you gave all your other guys, you gave the people that had to open up, which made the episode of SmackDown so funny because everybody that shows up to work on a regular basis was not there, and the person that never shows up to work opened the fucking show.
Yo, bravo for Brock Lesnar, he's employee of the month. He showed up when everybody else couldn't. But basically, because of the background behind this is because the Saudi prince didn't pay WWE for the last event in June. WWE super.
So why would I bring my superstars out there?
In June, they owed them $60 million that they didn't pay only before WWE Crown Jewel.
Ain't no way going over there.
Vince McMahon to cause a delay in the feed for Saudi Arabia to see Crown Jewel, which in turn, a lot of people feel like the petty move back was the Saudi prince delaying the flight for these superstars.
There's no way and no reason why I didn't get my money from how many months ago.
What happens if your landlord doesn't get his money for 4 months?
What happens
to anybody in this room if your landlord doesn't get his money for 4 months?
You out of here.
What color's the paper that's going in front of your door? You get a nice orange or nice pink paper that's telling you your ass is getting evicted.
Getting that eviction notice very quickly.
So I'm gonna get emails and calls and all this stuff.
But now shit is bouncing? Did they even attempt to pay them?
Apparently, they were in accounts receivable. They did pay him right before WWE Crown Jewel, like I said before, but it caused a lot of delay. So the following night on SmackDown, it caused an NXT invasion because all the superstars was back in Saudi Arabia.
I think this is all on purpose. So I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy. Why did this all happen? Like, this is all conspiracy written all over it.
Well, yeah, because it helped SmackDown to bounce back from the previous week. They did 880,000 on FS1. They bounced back to 2.5 million on Fox.
Some people
think
they have FS1, so it's not.
Well, I mean, a lot of people that have FS1, they have it, but they didn't just didn't care to view SmackDown that week, so. We got behind the camera. Closing the gap to AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite only had 822,000, so only 9,000 viewers separated AEW and NXT this
week.
That's
what's up.
This was the closest the gap has
the
been.
The build up for Survivor Series is looking good.
Yes.
So far.
Because you're absolutely. So far, right. Let's, yeah. They can always fuck it up because it's in WWE faction. That's just called what it is. They did it on Friday.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But
so,
Raw ratings was up. SmackDown ratings was up, and NXT was up. Yes, and yeah, Raw was trash.
I mean, the only good part that was NXT. Everything else was the commentators were trash. The show was.
I mean,
poor Dio got put through a table. Like,
I mean, he tried to help King. When he shouldn't even help.
The Rey Mysterio and Brock Lesnar stuff was really good on Raw.
That was great. Again, they're building up to what. This is what it should be. Build up. Let's build up to what we have. This big show coming. One of our big four coming. Let's build up to it.
So what do you think about NXT and AEW? NXT closing the gap. They had almost 300,000 more viewers than last week.
I mean, they don't want them to come. They are coming at their neck. So again, they on pressure. They got to hit that button. So it's like, right, what can we do to draw more people in? I got the picture. Everyone else got to change the channels and watch it back.
Well, it's
going good. Like, again, this is what we wanted. This is what we're getting, and it's a good time to be a wrestling, fan. So we're getting that entertainment that we used to have before. So.
What about you, JJ?
What a time to be alive.
So, I took it in a positive spin, just on a wrestling fan standpoint, because. You know, when you can feel the pressure from another company that is building to a really great show. WWE is actually responding pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they're responding good. Like, they could have shit the bed with all of these responses. And with this Saudi debacle, they turned it into a blessing in disguise.
Yep.
Because this, by accident, has been their best booking in about 5 years. Like, the
Say
fact
again.
That this Say is being, it's being booked so well by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some things just happens at the flat, you know, you fall on your face and it's like, oh shit, I just discovered a fucking blessing. Oh shit, I just got this whole black and yellow brand that's got mad talent on it. Holy shit, let's put them on TV. Let's make this, oh wow, wait, we have a third brand for Survivor Series. Oh shit, we're just stumbling upon good shit. So they actually are utilizing it and they're doing it right. So I'm giving them kudos for that. That's actually some good stuff for them. This is, to me, one of the best built Survivor Series in the in the last decade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because just now I am actually looking forward to Survivor Series for the first time in God knows how long.
Can I give you, can I say something?
Yeah.
Even though I feel like NXT's gonna get shit on.
Oh yeah, I mean, I said I didn't want to put that out there.
You know, I think I should with both of them.
No, I gave a comment during one of the, somebody was really excited about it. I thought they're about to give,
shout out to the owner of Love Story, Will. He's helping us with the ambiance.
So we just,
thank you.
So what I mean, I just say is that basically is that, you know, NXT is about to give out more jobs than Target. they about to job to the whole brand. You know, they're probably gonna pull out one match. Exactly. They're probably gonna get one win.
Which one you think is gonna be?
I think they're gonna give Shayna Baszler the win.
True.
I think they're gonna give Shayna Baszler the win.
Who do you think is gonna be the one that she beats?
I think she's gonna be Bayley.
She's not gonna be the face of WWE.
She's gonna be Bayley.
Of course. Even though
they're building this match without even involving Bayley,
that was great. That was great.
That was good.
One thing I will say, the one mistake WWE did this whole week.
They make Bayley look weak.
OC invading NXT was fantastic. Why the hell did you not promote it? Why the hell did AJ Styles or somebody from the OC at the end of Raw said, I'm going to show up at Full Sail and I'm going to show NXT how a takeover is really done? If they would have promoted it, it would have generated it,
but I like the fact that you didn't know that it was happening.
I knew it was happening.
But because it gets you invested into the following week, it is always about the longer term. So if you were, I hate that announcement shit. I hate the announcement shit.
Just fall on the
show up.
Yes.
Just pop up.
Yes.
Just pop up.
When you lose five weeks in a row, you're going to have 8 days out.
Lose five weeks in a row, but they're going to win the next six.
Yes.
Because, yo, it's like, holy shit, I really don't know what's about to happen here. I really don't know what's about to happen on the next show. Adam Cole popped up on the TV for SmackDown Live, I walked out. I haven't walked out on a SmackDown episode in God knows how long.
It's true.
Yo, I literally, as soon as baby! Like, immediately, son. I was like, holy shit, he's actually there in the crib. In the crib, in the confines of my own house. I know the third person on the third floor definitely hurts.
Nice. Let's hear from the spotlight and the Drew Hill. All right.
Let me see. We got Austin says, Bayley wins at Survivor Series. You heard it here first.
You know what? He's probably
what a
not
prediction.
Lying.
Own prediction.
Yeah.
You know what? They make her look weak anyway, and they haven't been really doing much with her, so I would think that probably would be their move. Let Bayley get a little bit of shine. Even with her new hair look. She look cute, though.
She look cute. Anything else?
Jason Michael Campbell said, I call this NXT invitation. I just didn't know when it was going to happen.
When you called us, sir? What episode? What time? Name, day, and place.
He's lying as an asshole.
Wait. So first of all, NXT wasn't invited. They invaded.
Yeah. he said invitation.
Don't mind him.
So, no. The producer read it right.
He read it right.
I know what he meant, but he didn't say that. They didn't get postcards in the mail and say, hey, welcome to SmackDown and welcome to Raw. They invaded the shit. Can we keep it kayfabe and say they invaded?
Invitational. Anything else?
WWE Invitational welcomes NXT.
Nick Jackson says, this gave us the best SmackDown in the last couple of years, so I'll consider it a win.
Yes, I agree with that for sure. So following up with the Saudi Arabia scandal, they had a backstage meeting at Raw this week. This was behind the scenes. They had a backstage talent meeting basically to address if any of the talent wanted to address anything that happened in Saudi Arabia. Rusev thanked Mark Carano for getting hotel rooms for all of the talent. Randy Orton said a joke. And apparently what Dave Meltzer first reported was that Seth Rollins did a rah-rah speech. So then Seth Rollins went on Twitter and basically called Dave Meltzer either a proverbial misinformation or an outright liar.
Wow.
So yes, came at Uncle Dave's head. But we found out that Seth Rollins never said anything at the meeting, and that Dave Meltzer did apologize to Seth Rollins.
Did he just make it up
afterwards?
No,
that's what he heard. Someone within WWE told him, one of his sources. Yo, and he reported.
Pause. Real quick.
Can I read it?
No, I got this. So Jason, first of all, you're a lazy bastard for using Siri to talk on a lie. Why are you using Siri to talk on live, you lazy bastard? Like, are you serious right now? Either we're too lazy to type or we can't spell with fingers. Which one is it? So, listen, use your fingers to type the words that you want to speak. If you're going to use Siri, she's going to interpret what she hears because I was greeting a friend and she thought I was talking to her. I don't use Siri to send my messages, buddy. How about you use your fingers and you use the send button? Lazy ass.
Well, I guess that's all from the spotlight. So yes, next we have the Jordan Miles t-shirt scandal. So Jordan Miles went up on Twitter and basically was upset about his t-shirt design. His t-shirt design was a black t-shirt with a red interior in the shape of a smile with white letters in the shape of teeth. This caused a lot of controversy on Twitter. Jordan Miles called WWE a toxic environment that promotes racism and doesn't have representation, and it caused a lot of trouble within the Twitter world. And then Jordan Miles went further with it and basically called out ROH, Jay Lethal, calling him an Uncle Tom, saying that's the only reason why he's the only black superstar I gotta push in ROH.
Somebody's damn sure lying.
Well, Jordan Miles, I'm just going to say this. He was fucking weird. This shirt came out a month and a half before he went on Twitter and complained about it. It was up on the website and immediately went down. I mean, yes, it does call out that WWE needs representation within their merchandising and within their WWE shop department. But Jordan Miles is a fucking weirdo because he shouldn't have called out Jay Lethal, because Jay Lethal is one of the most humble, nicest performers and wrestlers to fans and wrestlers alike. He kind of ruined his chances with a lot of different promotions like New Japan, like AEW, that like Jay Lethal. So Jordan, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, he went kind of Malcolm X to the bad side on that.
Do you want this one or do you want...
You can take the smoke, son.
Jordan, you're an idiot. Or whatever your name is. Whatever your real life
ACH.
Name is. Now, ACH, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Nah. Now, first, credit to your boy who told you about talking about the shirt design. Because clearly it wasn't you. Because as SP said, the shirt has been out for over a month. You okayed it. And then they released it. Then somebody brought it to your attention that it looked like a simple person of color's face and teeth. And it looked like a black person's smile. And that's awesome.
And they've been
but
selling this for
here we go, I'm saying this right now, bro.
No, it wasn't sold.
Like, bro, yo, dude, yo, you don't speak for us because you're an idiot.
But that's what I'm saying.
You don't speak because, yo, then he started, yo, what started fucking me up is he started going on this rampage. Fuck WWE. They don't care about black people. This, that, and the third. You want to start talking about all of this reckless, wild shit. WWE doesn't care about the culture. I'm doing this for the culture. No, you're not. You're doing this for you.
Yeah.
Because first of all, how long did it take you? First of all, your name was a joke, ACH. Your name was a joke, first of all. Who the hell's gonna... You sound like a fucking prescription. And secondly, anybody that really would have supported... Yo, you had us. You had us in the beginning when you put out the first and only tweet you should have put out that you didn't agree with it. Let the rest of us support you, idiot.
Yeah.
Trust me, our voices speak very loudly. But then you just kept going. And then going. And then going. And then when you really lost me, my brother, when you really fucking lost me, how dare you call out Jay Lethal, you piece of shit? How dare you call out Jay Lethal? Jay Lethal was finally, besides somebody like Booker T, a brother we could be fucking proud of. Like, finally, we had a true world heavyweight champion, a multiple time champion, somebody that could have delivered in any company we believe he could have stepped foot in, somebody that was really, he's talented, he's the first generational superstar, he has no family background behind this, there's nobody that got him into this business, he earned every fucking step of the way, and then what do? We all have jobs, don't we? We all have bosses, don't we? That means we have to capitulate in some way, don't we? Like, what the fuck, this ain't the Boondocks. Like, are you serious right now? Like, we have to capitulate some way to our bosses. What world do we live in? What world are we in? Is this 1912? you are so lost in the time that at some point we have some capitulating to do. And that doesn't make us a coon. That doesn't make us a sellout. It makes us, we are fitting. Listen, how many brothers are successful in this business?
I wish you would have kept it real.
So we kept it way too real.
He
became stupid.
Well, he messed up that because you approved the shirt. You should have said, you know what, my bad. I didn't really think about the shirt and what its impact would have been.
Because then he backed it up and said, oh, I saw it on a white background. Like, how many wrestling t-shirts are on white backgrounds?
Never.
Like, come on. Even if they showed you on a white background, you should have known
it's going to be
on a black t-shirt, you idiot.
They show you on a computer, digitalize it all. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to show. This is the colors. This is that. This is all that. You saw it. Just say you didn't think about what the impact was. And then when your peoples called you out on it, that's when you wanted to speak on it. So again, I think someone is lying, which is him, because you saw it, you knew about it. Just say, you know what, my bad, peeps, and we would have called it. We would have left it at that.
Yo, if somebody has permanent,
nobody bought the shirt because it's trash.
No one bought it because it wasn't up long enough to buy. But
not even that. I'm just saying the black people's t-shirts that's up there is trash, except the New Day.
We gotta move on because we don't have that much time.
I know, but this one was really important. This one was a really important one because he thought he was speaking for the culture. No, you weren't. You were speaking for your selfish ass self.
He went on the agenda and he went too far.
Because first of all, we're smarter than that.
So, a couple more WWE news. WWE champion Brock Lesnar quit SmackDown to go to Raw. Lance Storm hired as producer for WWE. NXT will remain in full sale through January of next year. WWE Backstage bombs on its debut. 49,000 viewers on FS1. Scarlett Bordeaux, Shotzi Blackheart officially start with WWE at the BC. Third quarter numbers down 83% for business in WWE. Stock prices fall as a result of that. And Sasha Banks has new theme music by Snoop Dogg. And I know drunk guy JJ somewhere is celebrating about that. AEW news. So this is one that I have to break to top guy JJ because he wasn't informed. Kenny Omega was apparently almost banned from Japan for 10 years following his last trip to Japan. He went to Japan for the DDT event on November 3rd. He had been blocked or kind of got difficulty going into Japan over almost 3 times this year. And this time he was told that someone tried to ban him for 10 years. This has a lot to do with the relationship between AEW and New Japan. A lot of people think New Japan have something to do with this, but this caused a lot of controversy. Kenny Omega has said in a cryptic tweet that he will have a lot to say about his 2019, and that even the rumors, it's a lot worse than the rumors are saying about what is involved in this, in the fact that he was almost banned in a place that he lived for almost 10 years.
Damn, bro, Kenny, man. Like, you just can't be valid in two countries, man. Like, first you have all these years where you couldn't wrestle in the States, and then here you go, you can't wrestle in Japan?
Yeah.
Like, damn, bro, you just like a living problem, yo. Like, but you know what?
More money, more problems.
It's just, I mean, we came to like the AEW break off with the ROH, former ROH stars, and all of that was gonna happen with the Elite and the ROH and all of that. When everybody kind of like separated themselves and went to AEW,
yeah.
We knew this was coming, but I guess this is kind of news that I guess it deserves to be broke because it's Kenny Omega, but it's kind of like that might be the case for most of these cats once.
This is
time.
WWE level of petty, though. If New Japan got anything to do with this, this is WWE level of petty to get a guy banned from a country.
Oh, I'm all ears. You got bad stuff to say about New Japan?
Yes. If they got
all ears for this one, holy
horrible.
Shit.
This is horrible.
Let me make sure I just keep it real.
If they got anything to do with this, this is horrible on their part. They're being petty. They could have had a deal with AEW, and right now the wrestling world and us wrestling fans would be celebrating because we would have Kazuchika Okada on tonight's Full Gear, or Kota Ibushi teaming up with Kenny Omega in a tag match on tonight's Full Gear. But we don't have any of that because New Japan wants to stay stuck in their relationship with ROH, which is a bad, abusive relationship. They're like the husband that doesn't even come home at night. He's out with his assistant. He's out being horrible, and he's not even getting paid. He doesn't even have a good job. ROH is not even making good money, and you're staying in a relationship with them? This is a horrible relationship. Shit, I've seen better ones.
I've conceded to giving up ROH for everything.
I'm proud of you for that. There's no
relationship that ROH deserves to be in right now. And to have the number one company in all of Japan and that whole country, to have that group of wrestlers and they're a part of it.
We'll have more on ROH
like,
in a little
like,
bit.
Like, I mean, if they ever run another G1 supercard, who's going to it?
No one.
Because the supercard is going to be all of New Japan's talent.
Yep.
Anything from the spotlight in the true heels.
Oh, and Jeff Cobb.
Pertaining to Jordan Miles, Austin said he's been to have Alex Sharpton as his manager. This one I actually want to respond to.
Yes, go ahead.
Jason Michael Campbell said, that would be like a white t-shirt with big lips. I would be laughing. There's nothing wrong with that. Jason Michael Campbell.
I'm guessing
that you're not an African American.
He's definitely not.
The reason why there's an issue with that is because there's a thing that used to be, or still is, called blackface. That is not really a good thing for black people.
It's not a good thing at all. Yes.
Not a good thing at all for black people. That's what the t-shirt resembled.
Yes.
The issue is ACH, Jordan Miles, whatever the fuck he wants to be called, he waited too long
I think Orange was the addendum comment. He waited too long and handled the situation completely terribly. That's why there's an issue with it. Go ahead, Orange.
He said, I never said laughing. That was serious again.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's up. I'm sorry, JJ. I thought that you were in towards me.
Dark Order and Best Friends. More AEW news that we got to get through. Cody's all-time great promo on AEW Dynamite got universal praise from fans and around the wrestling world. The Rock and Jim Cornette, most especially, praised his promo. AEW, but bad news, AEW Dynamite in Charlotte was their lowest attendance yet And Key well, Demos. Hey, Key Demos in the ratings was very much down. And they, like I said, NXT closed the gap. So it's not all good and all cherries for AEW. There is some bad news. They only sold 3,600 out of 8,600 tickets for their last event for AEW Dynamite. So they do have to big up with the ticket sales. And there will be a new entrance set for AEW Full Gear tonight. New Japan News, double championship match at Wrestle Kingdom. It's going to be a Kazuko Okada defending the IWGP heavyweight title against Kota Ibushi. Tetsuya Naito will get a chance at the IWGP Intercontinental Championship with Jay White, and the winners will verse on January 5th in the Tokyo Dome. Hiromu Takahashi returned at Power Struggle to challenge Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title.
Yes.
Jericho returned to New Japan to challenge Tanahashi for Wrestle Kingdom 14.
Evil. Do it. Like,
but the fact that he's in this match at Tokyo Dome probably is going to affect my predictions for Full Gear. Stay tuned. Evil is in line for a big push for a singles push next year, and New Japan New Year's Dash on January 6th is going to have a mystery lineup following the Tokyo Dome. ROH news, JJ's favorite topic. Joey Mercury ran out on a rant.
Was it there his bathroom?
Joey Mercury went out on a rant on Twitter.
Wait, you can't
leave me here. Yeah, you gotta hear about your precious ROH, you know? You know, he quit ROH and basically exposed ROH for a whole bunch of shit that they've been doing.
I love how everybody pointed to what about
ROH general manager Greg Gillin basically has been behind a lot of bad news. Concussion protocol not in place, lack of security and medical staff at events. Jeff Cobb got paid $50,000 this year working for ROH. I got paid more working at a hotel.
What?
Yes. I got paid working at a hotel more than that.
It gets worse.
ROH Woman of Honor champion Kelly Klein asked for a raise. A raise of how much? $24,000 a year. ROH denied her and
said
that's
how much?
$24,000 a year.
What?
Yes.
What? You all should quit.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right. I'm not even joking right now. I'm not watching ROH ever again. I'm done.
Facts. Throw it away.
You know, if anybody, and there's a few people in this, I swear to God, divide 24,000 into 52 paycheck, into 52 weeks. That shit is dirt change.
Yeah.
That shit is dirt
change.
Is
that because of where they live?
Like, yo. You can barely pay your fucking bills with that.
Right.
I'm not even talking about a place to live. You can barely pay your... No, fuck. What's way beyond rent? Especially if you live in New York. Most people that live in New York is paying at least $2,000 rent. You times that shit by times 12. How much is that? Alright? Now, $24,000
a year.
Why am I even talking about this?
And that's a raise. That was a raise from what she's currently making, and they denied that. So ROH has a lot of problems right now. Jay Lethal, he recently turned heel and then broke his arm. They didn't have medical staff on duty when he broke his arm at the event. Vinny Marcellella, he turned heel and turned his back on Matt Taven at ROH unauthorized better news.
Next.
Impact news. Impact's next pay-per-view, Hard to Kill, will be main evented on January 12th in Dallas, Texas by Sami Callihan defending the title against Tessa Blanchard. Tessa Blanchard becomes the first woman to go for a top championship in the main event on a pay-per-view. AAA announces that Kenny Omega will verse Dragon Lee for the AAA Mega Championship at Triple Mania Regia on December 1st.
That match is going to be lit.
And MLW announces a partnership with AAA starting in 2020. So before we get into what we missed, anything from the Spotlight or the True Heels?
Do not read Jason's comment.
We ain't. Nothing really pertaining to. True Hill Mimi said that was Kelly Klein.
Yeah.
Got played with her bag.
Oh, absolutely. She looked good, but sorry, Kelly, you not getting paid jump change. What if she's making less than $24,000 a year to risk her body on the line?
That's sad. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness, that's horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think we're paying pertaining to ROH, that's really the only thing anybody's said. Everybody's on their fuck ROH thing. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm done with ROH. I'm done with ROH.
As they should.
I'm not gonna know any. And they took Final Battle away too.
Yeah, they took it from
fuck here. Y'all, yo. Like,
so we gotta run through what we missed. WWE Crown Jewel Sweet Saudi Money 4. The Fiend became Universal Champion.
That's some bullshit. Because why you made him get championship over there?
No, but to the credit, though, we were both literally a show late.
Exactly, we were.
Like, he called Sami Callihan winning, and then he got it literally like two, three nights later. And then we all called for the Fiend winning, and then he gets it a show later. The dumbest curveball ever still, but you know.
Brock Lesnar defeated Cain Velasquez in 2 minutes. Tyson Fury defeated Braun Strowman by countout. The OC is the best tag team in the world. Team Hogan defeated Team Flair.
I knew that was going to happen.
Match of the night was Mansoor versus Cesaro. And the MVP is the Undertaker of Crown Jewel or Sweet Saudi Money, Mansoor. MLW Saturday Night Super Fight. Jacob Fatu defeated L.A. Park. You want to read a comment? Go ahead.
I need to read this in a way that I think I need to read it.
Go ahead.
What did I do to you, JJ, to make you so mad that I gave my opinion just like you? I got my rights, damn it. This is true hell heat. You better come with the thunder. You over here talking about you got Siri typing messages for you. I bet you Siri ain't type that shit. I bet you that wasn't Siri right there, right? That was your fingers that did that shit, right? That shit came out with words perfect and everything. Next time, just use your fingers. I bet your fingers did all of that. Next time, just keep your fingers on the damn phone.
This has become a roast of JMC in this episode, pretty much. Yes, like I said, MLW Saturday Night Super Fight. Jacob Fatu defeated L.A. Clark in a bloody war in the main event. The Von Erichs defeated the Dynasty to become the MLW Tag Team Champions. I know Izzy's happy about that. He has them on his fantasy team, the fantasy league that I stopped caring about. Teddy Hart defeated Austin Aries and low-key knocked out Brian Pillman Jr. Match of the night was Tom Lawler versus Timothy Thatcher, in my opinion. And MVP was L.A. Park because he was the biggest star on the show. At New Japan Pro Wrestling Power Struggle 2019, Switchblade Jay White successfully defended the IWGP EIC title, leading to the double championship challenge for Wrestle Kingdom. Hiromu Takahashi returned. I got emotional watching this. I'm going to be honest. When I saw Hiromu return, my heart started to flutter. I saw the cat on the screen. I started tearing up. It was great. That was an awesome moment. This was honestly, in my opinion, one of New Japan's best events of the whole year. This had the Hiromu Takahashi return. Kenta versus Ishii was great. This was the old school Kenta. Kenta literally smacked the shit out of Ishii to the point that Ishii popped the eardrum. Like, that's how hard he smacked the shit out of him.
I'm just amazed.
Oh, shit. Well, they hear us. We're fine.
I'm just amazed Kenta stayed healthy for the
Roppongi 3K won the Super Junior Tag League for the third year in a row. Naito defeated Taishi. A match of the night was Osprey versus Bushi and Ishii, or Ishii versus Kenta. If you're watching us on YouTube, you decide in the comment section. And MVP of the night was Hiromu Takahashi, for sure. So we got to get into what's next. So two big shows tonight, New Japan Pro Wrestling, New Japan Showdown in San Jose, as well as AEW Full Gear. A couple of other shows this weekend. We got Showdown in Los Angeles for New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's going to have LIJ versus the Bullet Club, Chaos versus the Bullet Club. It's going to have Kota Ibushi versus Ren Narita, and Chaos versus LIJ. Evolve 139 is going on right now. That's why Baby Seth is not behind the camera. It's got Austin Theory versus Josh Briggs, No Holds Barred JD Drake versus Anthony Henry, and MLW has a big show tonight with Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Filthy Tom Lawler, and Falls Count Anywhere, Jimmy Havoc versus Mance Warner, as well as Teddy Hart versus Myron Reed. Impact has a big show as well tonight. So many other promotions have a show tonight, it seems. Impact Turning Point is tonight. It's got Sami Callihan in a rematch versus Brian Cage for the championship. Tessa Blanchard and Jordynne Grace versus Kara Hogan and Madison Rayne. Mm-hmm. And Impact X Division title, Ace Austin versus Jake Crist. So we got to get into New Japan, New Japan Showdown in San Jose. Yes, we still have to get into it. Yes, okay. I know you're being crunch. It's not G1 Climax, at least. anyway.
Yeah, there's no sex involved with this wrestling show. Yeah.
Ren Narita will be going one-on-one with Alice Coughlin. Who you got in this one of a battle of the Young Lions? Narita versus Coughlin.
I'm
going to
go Narita.
You're
going to
go
with
Narita?
I'm
going to go with Narita as well. He's more of a New Japan Dojo type of guy. Jushin Thunder Liger's last U.S. match. He's going to be teaming up with Aaron Solo, who is the fiance of Bayley. And they're going to be going up against Cole Cabana and Toriyama. Who you got in this one?
Bayley's boyfriend, fiance person.
I said a name she knew.
Alright, I just saw something in the comment section. I needed to hit that back. Can you just give me that match again, please?
Aaron Solo and Jushin Liger versus Cole Cabana and Toriyama.
Oh, God. Jushin Liger. Cole Cabana doesn't win matches.
LA Dojo, Clark Connors, and Carl Fredericks will be going up against Suzuki Gun, El Desperado, and Minoru Suzuki. Who you got in this one? You got Suzuki going. All right.
I'm gonna make my girl Chrissy feel good, and I'm gonna support her decision.
I'm gonna agree with you guys. I think Suzuki Gun gets the victory. TJP, Tomohiro Ishii.
Yes, he did.
And Juice Robinson will versus LIJ, Bushi, Sonata, and Evil. LIJ versus TJP, Ishii, and Juice. Who you got?
Ooh, damn. I was gonna go with LIJ, but I got the Juice.
You got the juice.
I'm definitely going with
LIJ.
TJP.
LIJ. Well, that's how he feels. All right.
I will never get Max Player Start out of my head.
Next.
He's dead.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, there you go. Chaos. Well, Rocky Romero, Yo, and Hiroki Goto will be versus the Bullet Club. Jado, Taiji Ishimori, and Kenta. I'm going to go with Bullet Club in this one. Who you got? Bullet Club versus Chaos.
Wow. Damn. I'm going to go Chaos.
Going Chaos in this one? Who you got, Chrissy? Chaos as well. She's just agreeing with Top Guy JJ. Yeah. You're just going to agree with him with everything. Rev Pro, Undisputed British Cruiserweight Championship. ELP, El Phantasmo, will be going one-on-one with Roppongi 3K's show. Who you got, JJ?
So El Phantasmo?
El Phantasmo versus
Again,
show.
Again, show. I'm going to go El Phantasmo.
I'm going to agree with you there. I think El Phantasmo retains the title. Yeah. And he's going to defend the British Cruiserweight Championship against Liger on the second night of Wrestle Kingdom.
Ah, okay.
Who you got, Chrissy?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Who you got, ELP versus Joe?
Yo, she not only didn't hear the match, she didn't even hear my prediction.
ELP versus Joe.
Who was your pick?
I think El
Phantasmo. She's laughing at that. What do you got?
Elf, that sounds like a clown.
You want to hear the other one?
See, I told you she asked.
You want to hear the other one? The other one was called Roppongi.
Anywho, IWGP US Championship is on the line.
You know when you have a blunt and everything just sounds funny as fuck?
That's what she's at right now. David Finley will be going.
Come the love story because the drinks is lit.
David Finley been going one on one with Lance Archer for the US Championship. Lance Archer versus David Finley. Who you got?
She forgot already.
David Finley
for the new championship. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with Lance Archer.
I think everybody dies. Lance Archer wins.
I'm gonna go with Lance Archer.
Los Ingobernables, De Japón, Shingo, and Naito versus the Bullet Club, Jay White and Chase Owens. Who you got?
Bullet Club.
Bullet Club for life. Who you got?
Can Chase Owens finally get some big love?
No.
He's probably going to be the one that takes the L in this.
It's just like, come on, man. I interviewed with him at the block party, man. That special connection there, man. I'm going with you, Chase. I'm going with the crown jewel, son. We just named the pay-per-view after you, bro. I'm going with the crown jewel.
Sweet Sunny Money. Chaos in the main event. It will be Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada versus Amazing Red and Kota Ibushi. Who you got?
Ibushi.
You got Ibushi and Red. Who you got, JJ?
Yeah, anything Ibushi touches, he's winning right now, I believe.
Facts.
He needs to go. He needs to just have momentum going into Wrestle Kingdom.
I think Amazing Red is there to take that big L, and Ospreay and Okada get the victory in this one. And we got the big show that we are here at Love Story for. AEW Full Gear has been building up ever since All Out. We've had 6 weeks of AEW Dynamite Television to consume.
Six shows?
Yes,
so far?
It's been 6 weeks so far
the
to build up.
Was like the worst one ever?
No, attendance-wise, it wasn't the worst.
It had
two of the best segments I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Between the Cody promo and the hilarious Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle parody of the Cody vignette.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be in the Inner Circle. I want to be a ruffian and a street thug.
That old lady said, I feel so.
I knew that Cody would grow up to become AEW world champion.
I hope that Cody survives this. I think he's gonna get hurt.
Okay, Chris is gonna beat the shit out of Cody. She was the all-star. Soul Train Jones was the all-star as well.
And no, yeah, he said, I ain't a farmer.
I don't know much about goats. I know that Chris Jericho is the greatest of all time.
I do got some criticism about the I don't like how they're using Hager at all. I don't like the silent shit. I don't like it. It leads to nothing. It never leads to anything important.
He's a bodyguard.
He is going to be the fall-off guy.
He's the original Diesel.
He's going to be the fall-off guy.
That's what Diesel used to be.
That's Sammy Guevara by a long shot.
Sammy Guevara is going to be the goon that takes all the L's, but I think he's going to be the unnecessary hitter that just doesn't get anything major.
No, he's not going to take L's because he's an undefeated MMA fighter.
He's just going to be there as a silent assassin. Buy a character when you don't say nothing.
So, on the pre-show, which we got to get into in a little bit, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, will go one-on-one with Bea Priestley. This has been building up ever since Fight for the Fallen in July, where Bea Priestley gave Britt Baker a concussion by kicking her in the back of the head. So, Britt Baker going one-on-one with Bea Priestley. Who you got?
Britt Baker.
You got Britt Baker in this one? Who you got, JJ?
Of course. I got to go with the DMD, man.
Mm-hmm. Going with DMD? I want to go with B really much, but I'm gonna go with Britt Baker. I feel like they're on the track to building her up back
for another title match. I think she's gonna go back for another title match.
Joey Janela going 1-on-1 with the chairman Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard. Mm. Who you got in this one, Chrissy?
Shelly. Who's Shelly? That's what I just said.
I said with Tully Blanchard.
Oh, with Shelly Briggs, that's one.
Damn, you don't even know the man.
I hate the fact that this is going to be a match that Sean Spears wins because I don't think it's going anywhere. This whole Tully Blanchard shit is dumb. Like, I don't see this shit going anywhere. So I think Sean Spears picks up a very unnecessary win. Tully Blanchard with the assistance to help Sean Spears win. That's
okay. The Young Bucks go up
who
against
it.
I'm gonna go with Sean Spears. Sean Spears.
It's pretty obvious Sean Spears is gonna win.
The Young Bucks going up against Santana and Ortiz. This is a dream match to a lot of people. LAX versus the Young Bucks is one match I've been looking forward to for over the last two years.
Have they called themselves Proud and Powerful yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have. They have on the vignettes.
I know on their t-shirts and their vignettes.
Have you seen on the Bedford Avenue L train station?
Yep.
Promo?
Yep. That was great.
Even
if you haven't seen it, Santana Ortiz versus the Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks knows what's best for business, and they know to give Santana and Ortiz
that win. The big victory
in this upcoming tag team title hunt that Proud and Powerful will be on.
I love the fact that all the matches, I can't really tell for who's gonna win. But
it's unpredictable.
In this one, I'm gonna go with Santana and Ortiz. I feel like they need the victory more. They're gonna be the top heel team in AEW, and they need this victory to move on to verse SCU or whoever comes out of the tag team title match later on down the road. Pac going one-on-one with Hangman Page. This is a rematch from the debut episode of Dynamite. This has been building up ever since the press conference that announced AEW back in January. So this is a huge matchup with title implications because this is number 2 and number 3 in the top 5 ranking going one-on-one. Who you got?
This is one of those things that you like. I'm happy with either one, whoever wins, to be honest. But... Hangman Page.
Going with the Hangman, who you got?
I think we need to sell some t-shirts. So we gotta see some cowboy shit happening. So Hangman Page has to, as you stated a couple of True Hill Heats ago, he has to do something big in order to get himself back from that redemption loss that he took to Chris Jericho. Something big has to happen to Hangman Page, and I don't see it happening for Pac.
I think Pac gets the victory here. I feel like Hangman Page, if you've been watching Being the Elite, he's been teasing a heel turn. He's about to turn heel on the Elite, so I think he needs another loss to put him down in the dirt so he is bitter and angry at the rest of the Elite members.
That's another question for another episode, but the fact that I think he got a big win against Sammy Guevara, I think was some big momentum for him, but I think that's just for another question for another episode about that potential heel turn and why he's doing that. Interesting to me.
AEW Women's Champion Rio. We're going one-on-one with Emi Sakura. This is student versus teacher. Sakura was the one that trained Rio. Rio in her second title defense on pay-per-view. Who you got?
Can I just say that Sakura looks like a wannabe dressed as Elvis Presley impersonator? And
she's a Freddie Mercury. She's a Freddie Mercury.
I'm going to say, because Elvis never had a mustache.
This is a three-way with the number two, with the number one contender and the number two contender. Private Party got the victory against Dark Order to enter this three-way. Who you got?
Private Party.
You got Private Party pulling off the upset.
Okay.
Who you got, JJ?
I'm going to agree with Chrissy. I think you don't get a big win against the Young Bucks to just falter at full gear. I'm going with Private Party.
I think SCU just got the tag team title, so they're not going to lose it that quickly. I feel like they're going to get the victory here. Maybe they versus Private Party down the road on Dynamite, but I feel like the real money is in SCU versus LAX, Santana and Ortiz. So I think SCU wins here, and we get Santana.
Good call. Just wanted to be a part of the minority. Just wanted to be a part of the minority.
Understandable.
That's actually good.
Listen, the analysis is going to be on point. I just wanted to be a part of the minority.
So next we got the sanctioned main event of the evening. The AEW World Championship is on the line. It's going to be Chris Jericho defending against the American Nightmare, Cody. If Cody loses, he will never challenge for the AEW World Championship ever again. And there will be 3 championship judges to determine a winner if it goes 60 minutes. I know Romeo is very much wishing that it goes 60 minutes. He's hoping and praying for it, because he wants to see 60 minutes of Chris Jericho. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the American Nightmare, Cody.
Cody for the win?
Okay.
I mean, I think they're going to make him lose on his birthday. I just don't know why. I don't
That's a WWE thing. That's why.
We want Bubbly! We want with Bubbly!
Can I make the prediction? Now, the wrestling call said we need to be calling for Cody to win this match. But God damn it, I'm in love for it, and I want some motherfucking bubbly tonight. I am the biggest Chris Jericho fan of all motherfucking time. I want some bubbly tonight, bitches. I'm telling you, I want some bubbly. I am definitely going. Listen, man, Chris Cody to actually make him lose this, and he never challenges for this again because he is a part of management. He is a part of management.
Ownership.
If this was WWE, they'd be getting all sorts of flack. So let's keep that same energy. Cody is a part of management, and he is in the main event, sanctioned main event.
Okay,
I want some motherfucking bubbly.
I was gonna go with Cody in this one just because of the stipulation, but I feel like it's a red herring. They're throwing all this stuff at us. They're throwing Dustin getting his arm broken. They're throwing the Inner Circle versus the Elite, the match beyond. They're throwing in this stipulation for Cody to lose and never challenge for the championship again. But what was it that everyone predicted when this match was first announced? MJF turns heel on Cody. The match and the storyline that you set up tonight is MJF turning on Cody, and we lead to MJF, his former best friend, causing Cody to never challenge for the World Heavyweight title again. So Chris Jericho and a little bit of the bubbly!
And what I like is that how you tied that into the MJF, because if anybody has been watching any of the AEW shows that's leading to pay-per-views, going back to their first pay-per-view, MJF calls himself the number two dog, literally acknowledging Cody as the top dog.
Yep.
What's the best way to get yourself to become the top dog? It's to literally cut the rug from up under the feet, knowing he's never going to challenge for it again. I might have to have a match with him, but guess who's next in line for the title match after I beat him?
You build it up longer. He might have to, like,
salt to the earth, baby.
A year from now, 2 years from now, you have MJF win the AEW World Championship, and that's the only reason why Cody can get another shot. You have it, you build it up for the long term. It's more about the chase more than anything with Cody. Mm-hmm. And in the official, what's going to be the official main event for us, but the unsanctioned main event, unsanctioned match, this is a dream match, lights out, is going to be Kenny Omega versus John Moxley. This all started when John Moxley made his debut at Double or Nothing back in May. He attacked Kenny Omega and threw him off the poker chips. I know my friends Orange Cassidy and Mrs. Orange Cassidy were in the stands in enjoying that live there, so they enjoyed it. They had a big brawl at Fyter Fest. We were supposed to have this match at All Out in Chicago, but unfortunately, John Moxley got the Mercer in his elbow and caused him to miss that event. But it's only prolonged the heat and made this even bigger. So who you got, Omega versus Moxley?
I got Moxley.
You got Moxley for the win. Who you got, JJ?
I'm definitely going with Moxley with this one because it don't count. Because it don't count, and I think he is going to literally TV hurt Kenny Omega tonight. Like, Kenny Omega is definitely not going to be on Dynamite this Wednesday, so if anybody is looking forward to Dynamite, I think Kenny is not going to be there due to the damage and the barbed wiring that John Moxley is going to do to him, and he might get suspended on Wednesday as well.
I just want to see a barbed wire broom be used. It's been teased for the last couple of weeks. I need to be used tonight. But I think John Moxley gets the victory here, and we're leading to Pac versus Moxley on Dynamite. And the winner of that will be the number one contender for Jericho for the next pay-per-view. So that is all for True
Wait, how? When it don't count?
Hey, you get this victory here, and it leads to him and Pac.
Yo, you know what's so fucked up about John Moxley's AEW run right now? His record is 1-0-1.
1-0-1.
Yes, and he has
two been in AEW since day one. His record is 1-0-1. That means that dude has had, like, no sanctioned matches.
He's had two unsanctioned matches. That's not his. That's his specialty.
Yo, that's half his career.
That's his specialty. I'm not mad at you, John. I'm not mad at you, John. So we got to wrap things up for True Hill Heat 53. We want to thank our guest producer, Ness, as well as Orange Cassidy, Mrs. Orange Cassidy behind the camera, as well as our good friend Izzy, who helping us out behind the camera. Thank you guys for helping us out. Anything from the spotlight and the True Hills before we wrap things up?
That's right.
Drunk guy, JJ. Said fuck Izzy and
his wow,
fuck you too.
Wow,
fuck Izzy. Okay, cool.
Wow,
okay.
Well, that was
and it just seems like everybody's in agreement with Jericho winning tonight.
Oh, okay,
everybody wants a little bit of the bubbly. So if you are watching,
if I win, it's gonna be a big thing. Okay, all right,
we'll celebrate you next Thursday. Thursday. So if you're watching us from the New York City area, come on down to Brooklyn. Come on down to Love Story. We are watching it live. We have the livest wrestling fans, the truest wrestling fans in New York City are going to be out here tonight. Yeah. Like I said before at the top of the show, Battle Club Pro, their next big event, January 4th, One for All. That's going to be in New Jersey. Check out Toxic Talk and Four Quarters Podcast, my two other podcasts that I work on, that I love working on with you guys. And where can they find you on social media, guys? Miss Chrissy Love, Top Guy JJ.
You can find me on Twitter and on IG and Facebook at the Sensation of Miss Chrissy Love or Chrissy Love underscore.
I just have to have some of my tequila. It is True Heel underscore, Two Heel underscore Top Guy, True Heel underscore Top Guy JJ. And just, this is a little schooling for my little producer back there. There's a stop button on there.
I see that. I see it. I see it. It says finish.
It was meant to be
prepared.
It literally says
I was letting everybody get their last word.
So by the time we hit it, you hit that when we throw our signs up, okay?
All right.
So as we say our final things, you hit that, all right? And then we end the show and then we go enjoy our nights. Is that okay with you? Are you able to handle this?
Yes, I am.
Or do we need to have Freshly Squeezed pick his thumb up and actually hit the button for you?
I got it from here.
All right. Yes.
He's a horrible person. Check us out on Facebook if you're not already a part of the True Heels group. YouTube is True Heel Heat. Become a subscriber today.
Yes.
We got t-shirts and raffles coming up in the new year and more viewing parties. We're going to have more news on viewing parties on True Heel Heat 54. True Heel Heat 54 this Thursday. We're going to have more news for more viewing parties in 2020. Twitter, True Heel Heat. So until True Heel Heat 54 this coming Thursday, I'm SP3. That's Miss Chrissy Love. Top Guy JJ signing off. Until next time.